Visakha Puja is the day on which we commemorate the birth, the enlightenment, and the passing away of the Lord Buddha. Now, of those three, the enlightenment is the most vital for us to contemplate and to apply its lessons to our daily life. So the enlightenment of the Buddha was his realization of the way things are. And what I mean by that is the nature of human existence, specifically human suffering and the cessation of human suffering. So here the Buddha is saying the primary concern, the fundamental concern of religion is human suffering and what can be done about it. And in the teaching which he spread throughout Northeast India over 45 years following his enlightenment, the teaching which summed up his insight, his understanding, revelation of that night in the full moon of May in Bodh Gaya in Northeast India 2,567 years ago. The chief import of that is that human suffering is conditioned. It's not imposed upon human beings from outside or from above. It's not a test, it's not a punishment, it's not part of a plan. But human suffering is conditioned by ignorance, a lack of understanding of the true nature of our life, of our body and mind, and of the world we live in. So in Buddhism, the path, the journey that a Buddhist is encouraged to embark upon is the journey from ignorance to knowledge. And so wisdom is the salient, the most important of the virtues which are taught by the Buddha. It's through wisdom that we go beyond ignorance and realize true knowledge. So the Buddha says that we're ignorant of the body, nature of the body, nature of the mind, nature of the world, and that together with or arising together with ignorance or as a consequence of ignorance are different kinds of desire, which we call tanha. And the Buddha contrasted this with the desire which comes from knowledge, which is given a different name in the Pali language, the language the Buddha himself used. So Buddhism not teaching that all desire is wrong, all desire is to be abandoned, but that the unwise, ignorant desire is a cause of suffering and is to be abandoned, but that the desire that comes from wisdom and understanding is to be cultivated. To give a very simple example, the desire to get the results of something, to achieve the enjoyment of certain, at the end of certain endeavors, would be the suffering that arises from ignorance. Whereas the desire to do something good, something wholesome, something that increases the quality of one's own life or the quality of the life of those around us, that kind of desire is not based on ignorance and therefore should not be abandoned, should be cultivated. So to recap, human suffering is essentially conditioned by ignorance, and that ignorance manifests as desire for sensual pleasures, desire to become something, to be something, a desire for power and fame and all kinds of states of being, and the desire to get rid of or not to be. So the Buddha says that in any situation, we have external factors, and these can be factors that affect us in a negative way, detrimental way to our physical health. Or we might be in a situation of where our country is overrun by war, where there is famine, where there is disease. All these things can cause physical suffering and will usually also lead to mental suffering. But the Buddha says that without ignorance, or conversely with the presence of wisdom, it's possible for human beings to experience physical discomfort, physical pain, physical suffering without mental suffering. So the Buddha is not advocating a turning away from the world and just trying to find some inner peace in a separate kind of realm of being which shuts its eyes to the problems of the world. But the Buddha is saying that when we take care of our minds, we look after our minds, we can deal with the various situations and various challenges in our life in such a way that we can grow as human beings and that we can be free of suffering, but we can also help to create and to promote happiness and welfare in those around us. Now, this movement from ignorance and all the cravings that cause more and more suffering, and the understanding of the way things are and this state free from suffering, mental suffering, some true happiness, does not come about through ceremony or prayer, but it comes about through a systematic development of our body, speech, and mind, our actions, our speech, our emotions, our thoughts. It's a comprehensive, profound education. And it's this education system is called the Eightfold Path. So the Buddha says suffering is primarily due to ignorance and the cravings that arise from ignorance. Cessation of suffering, true happiness, comes from the virtues which are developed in a systematic, holistic training of body, speech, and mind. This is the core teaching of Buddhism, which sprang from, which the mind of the Buddha following the enlightenment on the Visakha Puja night. So the Buddha encourages us to take these teachings and put them to the test of experience. The Buddha did not want blind faith in his teaching. He said, does this make sense to you? When you react to something unpleasant with fear and anger and prejudice, do you suffer or not? Yes, you do. If you can let go of the anger, the fear, the prejudice, and so on, that arise as kind of knee-jerk reaction to unpleasant situations and inputs, then when the mind is free from those negative states, is it not more likely that you will respond to, you will deal with situations in a more creative and a more effective means. So these are the kind of inquiries that we make as Buddhists. Buddha says that when we attach to things as being me and mine, then we suffer. So we begin with the body. Is it true that this body is mine or our body? Well, how would you decide that? What decides ownership? The criteria of ownership is usually power over. So how much power over our physical body do we possess? And my teacher often say, can you tell your body not to be sick or not to get old, not to die? No, you can't. The body just does what the body does. And you can prevent the illnesses from leading to death. And we can put off death for a while, but not for so long. This body is of the nature to age, to sicken, and to die. And once we understand that and we treat our body wisely, look after it, we give it enough sufficient rest, good food, exercise, we take care of it, but we don't identify with it as being who we really are. And then the fear of old age and sickness and death passes away, or it becomes much less intense. And and so the Buddha is saying, if we look at the body clearly, without this craving to carry on living or craving to be beautiful and to be young and fear of old age, and we can educate the way that we relate to our physical body, accepting the fundamental inarguable truths of its eventual old age, sickness and death, we will lead a much happier life. And it goes through the different elements of a human life in the very systematic way that he was famous for. We look at feelings and the feeling tone of experience, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. How much power and control over those do you have? Can you say, I'm not happy, I want to feel happy, I want a happy feeling right now, or I don't want this unhappy feeling to go away? We can't do that. So this is a way of just looking at our life, not as in a philosophical sense, but things that are just basic to our everyday existence, and looking at them afresh. So what is the feeling tone of experience? Can we say that happiness, unhappiness are our possessions, so they belong to us, or are they conditioned phenomena that arise or pass away according to conditions? And similarly with memories and perceptions and emotions. So we're looking at our life. And many religions might consider this the work of psychology or philosophy. No, in Buddhism, this is religious practice, understanding, rooting out these assumptions and confused thinking that we have about life by just looking at the raw data. Does this sensual pleasure really make you happy? What are the pros and cons? What happens if you become addicted to a certain pleasure? What about the law of diminishing returns? To what extent does the enjoyment of the basic animal pleasures hinder you, prevent you from experiencing more subtle and elevated pleasures? So Buddhist practice is not so much concerned with beliefs and forging a cast iron faith in dogmas, but it's saying these are the teachings, these are propositions about human life. Do they make sense to you? Look at yourself and you realize, well, actually your mind is not really capable of this kind of analysis. It's just jumping over the place like a monkey the whole time. So, oh yeah, so it's important to develop mindfulness and attention span and focus. And this is where meditation practices come in order to give the mind the stability and clarity and fundamental sense of well-being, which is necessary for it to be able to understand the way things are clearly. So this is the great gift that the Buddha gave to the world. It gives us the tools, it gives us a map for looking at the human condition and learning about the human condition, and particularly through the lens of what creates suffering, what sustains suffering, what reduces suffering, what eliminates suffering, what hinders true happiness, what promotes true happiness. And it's in the application of the Buddha's teachings to everyday life and putting them to the test that we can really understand and appreciate the true profundity of the Buddha's teachings and the wondrous train of events that began with the enlightenment of the Buddha and led to its formulation of his teaching and transmission of his teaching right through the centuries until the present day.